Boy Howdy Legend. What a stupid movie.
Well, I know the intention was for you to shit on it and me to kind of defend it, but...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Quarantine Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Hello, I'm Nigel Thornberry.
Say it more like the darkness would.
Hello, I'm Nigel Thornberry.
Thank God. The one man, the best part of this film, yet the most unneeded. Yes.
Yes.
This movie has us away.
Far and away, yeah. For goodness sake. I remember at one point years ago, I've only seen, this is my second viewing of this film, but I watched it like 10 years ago for the first time, and I must not have been in the right state of mind, but I felt like Tim Curry was wasted, and like it could have been anybody under all that fucking makeup.
Yeah.
But upon rewatching it last night, I'm like, he makes this movie.
He's the light in the darkness.
Oh,
playing
God.
Darkness.
He is so good.
Yeah, I know.
As the darkness in this movie. I want to smack my past self with a metal strap.
You want to have the darkness poke you in the eye with one of his horns.
Yes, with one of his long, gangly fingers.
Yeah, indeed. Joining me as always, Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, Annette. If you've been listening to us or are new here, you're well aware that there is a global pandemic going on, and here we are recording via our computers, and we're using the quality microphones we have, so our audio might sound like shit. But, you know, we do what we got to do. So here we are. What we do here on the podcast is every week we take a film. We watch said film. We then take to the pod to discuss that film, what we liked about it, what we didn't, what we would change, what we wouldn't. Then we submit that film to the factory. That's where we take the movie we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, just different cast and crew for the modern booking. So this week, we decided to watch a film that has been on our radar. It's a movie that I watched once in my lifetime, and I did not like it at all. I'm not a big fan of the director either, as I have noted on the podcast before, and that is the 1985 film Legend, and starring Tom Cruise as Link and Tim Curry as Ganondorf. But yes, the reason we actually decided to watch Legend ultimately, besides not knowing what to watch this week, was because you just finished the 1987 Legend of Zelda?
Yes, indeed I did. I believe 1986.
Yeah.
Okay. Last week on the podcast, I mentioned that I have a little cutesy goal that I want to beat every Legend of Zelda game, and I'm making my way through, and I have, since last week, beat the original Legend of Zelda game, and we make this joke because Legend came out before the video game did. This movie took like 4 years to make, so it was an idea probably well before The Legend of Zelda was, but yet The Legend of Zelda plot is basically this verbatim.
Yes, indeed.
It's like the same exact thing. And even to the point, watching it, there's like the little fairy that's like, wake up, Jack. Come on, we gotta go. Like a little ball of light. I'm like, that's Navi. They steal from this movie to make these video
games. They
make
it better, so it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps. That's what we're here to discuss today. Yeah, so that was ultimately the driving force of picking Legend. However, I have had this on the short list for some time. The only reason we haven't gotten to it sooner is because of you.
Because this movie sucks. I watched it with Mother a while back. I remember just not being a fan. I think it goes way of most Ridley Scott films, as in it is very boring and drawn out and stupid, because Ridley Scott's stupid.
Jesus.
I like Alien and Gladiator. Those are the two Ridley Scott films I think I enjoy. I think the rest of them, I think he's one of those people that's like, I'm really smart. I make great movies. And they'll make you think, but they're really boring.
So you find them to be overrated.
Yeah. I like Prometheus. Like, I think Prometheus is a waste of time. It's a waste of a film.
I like Prometheus.
Yeah,
so I also like
Alien Covenant.
You're
like, oh, I liked Alien Covenant. I'm like, that was a waste of $9 at the theater. The only reason they called it Alien was so people would actually go see it. If they would have called it Prometheus 2, you would have gone seen it.
Yeah. I didn't go and see it in the theater because
yeah,
I thought
it was
going to be
Prometheus
shit.
Yeah, but it was called
Prometheus 2. Yeah. I ended up enjoying it quite a bit, though.
But no, I am not a Ridley Scott fan, and most of my criticism is in jest. I mean, you know, I just, for whatever reason, his style never does it for me. It's
never tickled your balls.
Yeah, it's just so drawn out and boring and lazy. Like, I like Gladiator a lot. I like Alien a lot. I do not like Blade Runner. I think it's terrible.
Wrong.
It's a terrible, boring film that is pointless. The last 15 minutes of Blade Runner are good, are great even, but that does not subsequent the preceding 2 hours, three, depending on what fucking version you're watching. So yeah, it's just in my I'm just not a fan of Ridley Scott, and it has created a bias, and I will 100% raise my hand that is partially why. It's like, I just don't. It's like Father with Watchmen. He's like, that movie's shit because of the big blue penis, man. What else was there in that movie? Nothing, just a penis. Like, you know, it's the same thing.
So you're saying you're blind.
Yeah, probably. And that's okay, though, because I'm American and that's what we do. No, not a fan of old Ridley Scott, but I this movie, because you do like Ridley Scott, I think you're in the same boat as me. This movie is boring and very all over the place and almost sloppily made.
Well, here's the deal. I watched the theatrical cut of this movie.
Any movie
upon
that gets a director's cut is the same as The Rise of Skywalker, where the book explained everything else.
Upon further research, I found that the director's cut is the way to watch this movie. Now, usually a director's cut, like, adds a scene here or there, or
changes
a little longer.
Ending. I know that.
The director's cut changes the entire movie. I watched the theatrical cut, and it has, like, 80s cheese, has, like, a very synthy score by the band called Tangerine Dream.
Hey.
Sounds like a pro wrestler.
Yeah. That's Velveteen Dream's tag team partner.
The Tangerine Dream. There's certain things that just kind of come out of nowhere, like the character Gump, he has this like little orb he starts carrying around at the back half of the movie. I'm like, where'd that come from?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, the ending has ends with like a music video, also by Tangerine Dream, with very peculiar lyrics. I should have them on deck here because they're something to behold. I was like, what the fuck is this song? But all day I've been listening to it. Love by the Sun, by Tangerine Dream lyrics. Maybe if I turn off my Wi-Fi, because
Tom Cruise's face smiling.
The entire movie, I'm like, Tom, put your teeth away.
Like, Tom, why don't you? You know, Tom actually learned to ride a unicorn for this film.
It's the chorus is legends can be now and forever, teaching us to reach for goodness sake.
I want to see Rocky lift to that.
For goodness sake. Yeah, so there's that kind of stuff. Like I said, the ending is very different. Upon doing some research, and I watched a couple scenes last night after we finished it, the director's cut, totally different. No Tangerine Dream. We got music by Jerry Goldsmith. And right from the get-go, I was like, this is superior. Like, why didn't I just do this? And then I checked out the ending. The ending of the theatrical cut was the music video, like I was saying.
Yeah.
This ending is a score, and there's a lot more dialogue, and it just has more character development because, like, early in the film, Lily, the princess, is reaching out for the unicorn, and it's, what's the word? It's, like, against their laws to touch, for a mortal to touch a unicorn, but she sings
it.
Yeah, in the theatrical cut, she just reaches for it, and then all hell breaks loose kind of thing.
Yeah.
Gets scared, and Jack runs off. But in the director's cut, she sings to it, and the unicorn comes to her. And at the end, in the director's cut, also Jack's like, Lily, sing to me. She sings like the same song she sung earlier. So that kind of like ties it together, like a little bit more development there, whereas in the version I saw, that wasn't there.
In the American theatrical release, isn't she just like, yeah, we can't be together or something like that?
That's the director's cut.
That's
yeah.
The director's cut where they say that. Yeah.
Not exactly. They kind of go way of Princess Mononoke.
Yeah.
Which I guess legend or Princess Mononoke went way of legend.
Excuse you.
Where it's like, where it's like.
I don't care if it came second. This. Legend of Zelda stole from it, Mononoke, if they stole from it, I don't give a shit. They're better things, so they yeah. don't get lumped in.
They say, I'll always love you, but I need to go back now. He's like, I'll be here, always. Like, okay. Because he has to protect the unicorns.
And they look over at him, and he's shaving, like clean shaving with a dry razor. He says, anytime.
Clean shaving with a unicorn horn?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is what I'll say upon watching this film. I'll start with the positives because there's more negatives.
Yeah. The makeup. We haven't even touched on Tim Curry yet.
Oh yeah. That'd be in the positives. We're about to. This movie is awesome to look at.
Especially for the 80s. It had good,
especially for today's. Yes, a lot of the cinematography was awesome, beautiful to look at. The set pieces were incredible. The makeup was incredible. Some of the miniature sets, like the Darkness's Lair, like when they do like a wide shot of it, it's like this tree.
Yeah.
Very cool. The costumes, like especially like Dark Princess Lily's costume. Oh, Midge. Yeah, like the costumes are cool, but and then yes, Tim Curry as the Darkness. Like I said at the top, I thought anyone could have played that role just because it's like disappears into all that makeup, but he shines through all those layers of makeup, and I even forget that it's makeup. I just feel like that's skin.
Well, it was the same. It was the guy. For makeup effects that was brought on was the guy that did The Thing.
The Thing?
Yeah.
What? Oh,
the
yeah,
movie,
yeah, yeah.
The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Right, right. And, yeah, just super impressive on that front. And then the concept, I'll say, obviously it's because I love Legend of Zelda, but if you wanted a Legend of Zelda movie, this is as close as we can get right now.
Yeah.
So if you're seeking something out, like seek out Legend, I suppose.
Or play a Legend of Zelda game.
In plot, this is that. Like an elf boy has to go and save the princess from the evil Dark Lord.
The man who with evil eyes.
Who's spreading darkness and dread throughout the land. That's basically the plot of this movie. The only thing different from what I said in this movie is the way they accomplish that is by killing they don't kill the unicorn, but they take away its horn.
It's basically the Ocarina of Time, but instead of killing the Deku Tree,
yeah.
They kill the unicorn.
All right. So, yeah, I like the story and the concept, but as far as things I don't like, and this is the biggest critique of the movie, it's not a fun movie. It's like not very enjoyable in that the characters are uninteresting.
Yeah. It's like lacking adventure almost. And it's an adventure film.
Yeah, there's like not much questing, not
it's
much
very
camaraderie. There's like the princess gets taken and our crew of Jack, Gump, and those two little goblins are like, we have to go get her. And then, like, they, like, look over the hill and, like, there it is.
Yeah.
So it's not much adventure, no. It's more, like, action-y, I suppose.
It's like if Lord of the Rings was directed by Ridley Scott. It's like, we gotta travel to Mordor. Where is it? Right over there.
What is it? What do you see? There it is. So that was my biggest issue with this movie, and because those characters are so uninteresting, the movie feels boring, because you're just, like, waiting for something to kind of happen, but, like, a reason to care, I guess, and it never really comes, so you're just kind of like, well, at least this is cool to look at, but it's only an hour and a half long, but it feels long.
Yeah,
that's why I chose the the theatrical cut over the director's cut to watch last night, because I remember watching this about 10 years ago. I drank a lot of booze since then, so I don't really remember it too well, but I remember feeling long, and so the director's cut's almost a half hour longer.
Yeah, like 114 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, we'll just watch the theatrical cut. That's the way it was presented in theaters, so that's the way I'm going to watch it, but like I said, upon research and watching it, director's cut style, like on the side, I wish I would have done it that way, which I guess I'll say this too. I'll treat it as a compliment. I would watch this movie again just to see what the director's cut is like.
Yuck.
there's some things about it I liked.
Billy Barty, Noodles McIntyre.
Yeah, McIntosh. He looked almost exactly like he does in Masters of the Universe.
Yeah. Did you know that he's from Millsboro, PA?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just south of Pittsburgh.
Did not know that.
Yeah. He's from Millsboro or was from Millsboro.
Did you know Tom Cruise refused to cut his hair? So his hair is just naturally that long in this movie.
Did you know Tom Cruise wanted to actually travel to a different dimension to film this film so he could do it for real?
I believe it.
Yeah, because he's Tom Cruise. He's like, we're filming a movie in space. Get this.
This is an observation.
Film it in space.
There, I think Tom Cruise is talking with Elon Musk.
Yeah, that was what I was just joking about.
Okay, yeah, about traveling to space for...
Yeah, the film and movie in space, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this is an observation I made while watching this movie. Early on, a gimmick of this movie is a lot of close-ups, like, of just the face. And Tom Cruise has one eyebrow. He got a unibrow going on. He needs to pluck that center.
This is one of his first movies. Early in the career of Tommy Boy.
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple of hits. He did Risky Business before this. He was in The Outsiders before this. He had a few, but this is early Tom Cruise still. He'd only been like three years or something he'd been acting at this point.
Before Scientology.
Yeah. He has this one eyebrow. And Lily, Princess Lily, played by Mia Sara,
Mia Sara.
She did not. However, when she becomes dark evil Lily, she has one eyebrow. And it's really her hair, you can tell. I have it on Blu-ray. It looks pretty crisp and clean. She grew out her unibrow to play the dark version of herself.
Eviler than a unibrow.
Yeah, it's like Squillium, fancy son. that'd be a good meme. Squillium, fancy son.
Squillium, fancy son.
Because he has one eyebrow, and then, she gets, like, half naked. It's like, ah, he's hot.
Yeah, picture him in his underwear.
That was an observation I made. And, there's something different, too. If you look up Tom Cruise's teeth, you're going to see something frightening. But his teeth in this movie are different than the teeth we see today. He certainly has had some work done.
He is the definition of a movie star, so.
That's what I quoted that last night. Margot was like, I don't really care for Tom Cruise. I'm like, hey, he's a movie star.
You're like, much like this is the last unicorn in this film, he's the last movie star.
You're almost not wrong.
Let's cast Tom Cruise as a Marvel character, not Iron Man, because he was about to be Iron Man, or he was originally wanted for Iron Man. Can you imagine that real quick? Can you imagine Tom Cruise as Iron Man?
I can, very easily.
Listen here, Cap.
Like, we need someone younger to play Tony Stark in the reboot of Iron Man. Tom Cruise is our guy. Even though he's older than Robert Downey Jr., he looks 20 years younger.
Yeah, he's the next Batman.
Maybe he'd actually work out as opposed to Robert Pattinson.
Isn't Robert Pattinson working out?
You didn't hear any of that?
I heard he's not, like, working out. Like, lifting.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying, like, he's not doing a good job, so they're cutting him or something.
No, he's not pumping iron to be Batman.
He said he didn't want to, like, create a stereotype. He wanted to make it more like anyone could be a hero.
Yeah, but you're bullshit. Batman. Yeah, you're Batman. Like,
to know every form of combat.
Yeah, like, let's say you, like, you're trying to portray it as it's real. Yes, it's a movie, but you're portraying it as it's real. You're Batman. You fight people. You fight criminals. That's what you do. You're not going to win if you're not training your body.
If Tom Cruise is Batman, he would literally learn. He'd be a black belt in, like, over 200 different things.
Yeah, probably.
And he would be like, I want to drive the Tumbler. I want to drive the Batcopter and the Batcycle and the...
At the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, and get this, we build Gotham.
Spared no expense. Yeah. They spared no expense in making this movie. Yeah. I mean, it cost $30 million, I believe, in the 80s.
$30 million?
They started this movie in 1982. He was still working on Blade Runner, like finishing it up while he was like in the conceptual phase of Legend and writing, helping to write the script and whatnot.
Yeah.
Hence why there's so much unicorns in both. But it took 4 years to make for two reasons. One, one of the major studios they were filming in caught on fire and burned to the ground, and they kind of had to restart a lot of it, and, you know, they needed that soundstage, so had to wait for that to get repaired and rebuilt and all that. So that took a while, and then I believe Tom Cruise's father passed away while filming, so they took quite a bit of time to do that. But on top of those things, the story itself went through about 15 different drafts. They just couldn't really figure out what they wanted to do with it, between the creators and the producers, I'll say. Because originally, they wanted Legend to be dark. Like, it's dark, but they wanted it to be, like, a lot more gorier. And there's, like, this whole subplot. I mean, it's still in the movie, but it was much more aggressive of the darkness trying to corrupt innocence. And he saw Lily as, like, the purest being, though he wanted to corrupt her. And, there's a rape scene where darkness was just gonna take the light from Lily.
no thanks.
Yeah. So they got rid of all that.
Yeah.
But it's the symbolism of it is still kind of there, where he seduces her and she becomes Dark Lily, and that's still the symbolism of corruption of innocence, I suppose. Even though not much happens, at least in the cut I saw.
That's Ridley Scott for you.
You almost can't be an authority because you haven't seen enough of his work.
I've seen two of his films. So I've seen enough. See, I've seen Gladiator, Blade Runner, Alien, Prometheus, Alien Covenant. This. What else has he done? Robin Hood.
Yeah, Robin Hood fucks hard.
Robin Hood is much harder.
Wait, what Robin Hood am I thinking of?
The one with Russell Crowe is the one.
Oh, no, fuck that one. I'm thinking of the one with Kevin Costner.
Yeah, no.
Let's see. He did... Let's go to the beginning that you would know. Let's see. Alien, yes. Blade Runner.
He did The Martian, which I haven't seen yet, but I would probably like. Or did he direct that or produce it?
He directed it. Thelma and Louise.
Nope, haven't seen it.
G.I. Jane.
Nope, haven't seen it.
Hannibal.
Nope, haven't seen it. Why do you film Hannibal of all movies?
Black Hawk Down.
I saw the first 15 minutes.
Matchstick Men, Kingdom of Heaven.
You haven't seen any of these movies.
I've seen a lot of these. I haven't seen the last two I just mentioned. American Gangster.
I think he's had more subpar movies than fantastic movies for as big as he's touted.
Very well. But I would put Legend for me in the category of it's all right.
Ah.
Nah, it's all right. I think I like it more than I dislike it.
Do you like it because it feels familiar to you?
No, I like it because
Tim Curry's awesome.
Because Tim Curry and visually, I was very impressed.
It's almost to the point where if you wanted a Legend of Zelda film, back in the '80s, I would have wanted Tim Curry as Ganon and Ganondorf.
Yeah, exactly that.
Did you know? All right, real quick question, because I'm curious. The original developer of Ocarina of Time, when they were developing Link for the first time in 3D space, the creator of Link's image, the designer, said that he based it off of a well-known American actor in the 90s. Who do you think he was basing it off of? Do you think it was Tom Cruise? I always thought it was Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think it was probably Tom Cruise, because I have heard that when they were developing Ocarina of Time, they got a lot of inspiration from Legend.
Okay. Yeah, because he said that. I always thought it kind of looked like, if you look at Link from that, and you look at a young Leo in the 90s, kind of, somewhat.
Kinda.
But he got the blonde hair. He got blonde hair.
Yeah, but what about that long nose, though?
Leo!
Tom Cruise.
Hey, Tom Hanks!
But I literally just Googled Ocarina of Time American Inspiration. The only thing that came up was, it was inspired by Twin Peaks.
What?
Yeah, so.
Who in Twin Peaks?
I don't know. It's one of those, you gotta, every page says a new fact, so.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's actually, known who it was actually. He never, specifically said, this is who, I made it after. He just said a well-known American actor.
Hmm. Interesting. The game's tone and characters were inspired by Twin Peaks. Sure. That shows very odd. I'd believe it if it was Majora's Mask was inspired by Twin Peaks. That would make sense.
The character Link was kind of based off of Peter Pan originally, his style or his, the way he looks.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Yes, sir.
He said, they said, so when illustrating Link, what was your inspiration? He said, a rather world-famous Hollywood actor. And he said, he's one good-looking guy.
Hey, you said famous actor. There's only one famous actor anymore. That's Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he is the last good-looking actor, huh?
Not only is he the last samurai.
See, even this article posts Leo, though.
Yeah. Maybe.
But anyways, indeed, legend, the film legend, is a film. I would much rather play Legend of Zelda than watch it, because
I would say I like can't give the strong recommendation to watch this movie. I don't even want to say, like, you know, it's worth giving a shot. You might like it, you might not. I personally can't say that. I would say that about any movie, truly, but if I'm being realistic, I'd be like, you don't have to watch this movie. You can probably just catch the best parts on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's a pretty simple plot, but yeah, some of the visuals, though, are awesome, and there's some chilling stuff. Even, like, the opening shot, well, not the opening shot, but when it's during Darkness's character introduction, it's like in a fiery dungeon, and there's this like giant orc looking fuck chopping someone to pieces.
Good.
Yeah, I'm like, ew, this is PG. Yeah, so there's some visual things that are interesting, and Tim Curry's performance as the Darkness is definitely the highlight of this movie. I think, I can't remember the list, but he topped the list of best performance in a bad movie. And it was as Dark.
Was it him
Darkness.
As Darkness? And the number
him
two was him as Pennywise?
No.
Because I like the OG one, but it isn't that great. It's about, the second half isn't that great, which is just its problem in general.
Right. I mean, I don't want to go on an it tangent, but I guess it's connected to Tim Curry. I much prefer the old school 1990 it over both parts of the remake. I just find it to be more effective, even though like the making of the movie is better in the new ones, and maybe the acting's better in the new ones overall. Yeah, I just find the scares from the original one much more effective and creepy, and Tim Curry as Pennywise much superior. Even though, what's his name, Bill Skarsgård's good.
He does. I think he does a fantastic job.
Yeah, as I don't know, it's just as a visual. I like the portrayal by Tim Curry and the people around making him just a clown.
Yeah.
He's a clown. He talks kind of goofy, you know, like, hiya, Georgie. But he looks like a clown, and then he becomes monstrous. Whereas Bill Skarsgård's portrayal, he's creepy in all aspects, always.
Yeah. And you're like, what kid? Wouldn't you watch the scene with Georgie in the new one, the remake. And I was like, if I was Georgie's age, see, I would have known, like, there's a clown in the sewer.
Yeah, I've seen the original movie. I know there's a clown down there.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. Lorraine?
What, Lorraine? What? So, yeah, that'd be my thoughts on Legend. We know your thoughts. You just don't even want to give it the time of day. I gave it the time of day, and I said I would seek it out again someday to watch the director's cut. But
No. Yeah, it's just it's not my cup of tea, because I think it's boring. And Ridley Scott. But indeed, Legend. Watch it for Tim Curry, or at least look up like Tim Curry playing the Darkness, because he is the best part of the movie. And you look up, if you're a fan of like makeup effects, practical effects, it's definitely worth seeking out for that. But indeed, you ready to imagine what this film would look like if it came out today?
Yes, indeed.
Alrighty, so in this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we submit it to the factory. That's where we take the film and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, same story, but different cast and crew for the modern booking. So, for today, 1985's Legend remake, what do you want to do here? Director? You want composer in there because it was all synthy, and you want to like get a legit composer? You want to do that?
I do have someone to do the music.
All right.
In mind.
Who we cast in is Link, Ganondorf, and Zelda, and...
That's right. So for a director, they're not necessarily a director, but they are a creator of content, so I would like them, I guess, at the helm of this movie. Her name is Lauren Schmidt-Hissrich, and she was the creator, executive producer, and showrunner of the series of The Witcher.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah, so she was basically the one in charge, and yeah, in per episode there were different directors and things, but yeah, she was the one making all the final decisions and orchestrating the show throughout. So yeah, she's my pick to be the director for our Legend remake, and who knows, maybe this is the kind of thing that would benefit from like a four to eight episode show on Netflix.
If they ever did a show like this, I would pray to God that they would, like a Legend, if they were doing, I would just hope it's just a Legend of Zelda show. Not Legend. I would just hope it's, I would hope that's just a Legend of Zelda show, like they were discussing doing several years ago, but never really happened. Or I guess it was rumored that it was going to happen. You remember that when that was being rumored?
Mm-hmm.
But it became was it Devil May Cry series instead? Very disappointing.
That's the harm of a rumor. It was not teased by anyone other than fans.
Yeah. So the director that I went with, he's a bigger name. I don't think we've actually ever used him on the podcast. He's done a lot of movies. He definitely has. And he is a really talented director, be it that I don't necessarily really enjoy the movies that he's made, though to the degree that I probably should. And that is Mr. Peter Jackson. I'm thinking dark fantasy style, Lord of the Rings. Maybe not a dark fantasy, but definitely one of the fantasy epics greats. I feel like he could bring something to... That's what this film was lacking, Legend. It's lacking that sense of, like, awe and, like, adventure, right? You even said it was more action. I think adding that adventure, making it 3 hours long, like he would do, would add a little something to it. I don't think we've ever used Peter Jackson before, have we?
I think we've maybe mentioned him before, yeah. But I don't know if we've gone with him. I don't know.
He really hasn't done. I mean, he's done a lot of movies, but this is like how many Lord of the Rings? So four Hobbits and three Lord of the Rings. So that's seven movies right there.
Three and three.
He did King Kong. He did, he produces a lot of films too. So I just at a glance, like I think he produced the Adventure of Tintin, and he produced District 9, and things like that. I thought Peter Jackson would be able to bring some of that adventure aspects of the Lord of the Rings trilogy and the Hobbit series in.
Right. Right, right, right. So I guess I will flip you for it. Heads, we got Pete. Tails, we got Lauren.
Indeed.
And we got, ooh, Tails.
Hey.
Lauren Schmidt. How do you say that?
That's what you said.
Hissrich. Yep. Yes.
Alrighty. Well, that's that then. Next up, composer. Who you got for your composer?
I said in the theatrical cut is by Tangerine Dream, and the real cut is with Jerry Goldsmith. I like the idea of having a band do the music, so I'm going to go with one of my favorite bands, That would be Nightwish.
Mm, yeah.
Nightwish, they have, like, I don't want to say synthy, because it's not synthy, but they, every now and, like, especially their older stuff, it was, like, a lot of electric keyboard stuff with, like, this epic opera rock and roll. And I think that could be, like, a cool edge to this movie. So I'm just going with Nightwish.
Yeah, so mine, I chose for mostly due to my director. I chose him, and I went with Howard Shore. Howard Shore, known for the Lord of the Rings films, also did movies such as. Composer specifically, because he's been involved in a lot of, like, music department help, like, helping with the soundtracks or, like, co-composing. Mm-hmm. For example, like, for all the Twilight films, he was, like, a co-composer, or he, like, helped in the music department, but then for the final, like, Eclipse, he conducted it.
Right.
Or, like, all the Lord of the Rings movies, Panic Room, Copland, Seven. He was a music producer, but Ed Wood, he was uncredited, but he was the orchestrator for that. Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah,
what are you looking on?
His music department credits.
Okay, because I'm pretty sure he did do the full score for Ed Wood.
Yeah, it said he was uncredited as the conductor.
Oh.
But he was the composer.
He definitely did the score for that movie. Yeah. I actually just watched a film that he did the music for the other day, and that was The Aviator.
Yes, yes. And so I think he's got, again, tying him to Peter Jackson, because he did the Lord of the Rings films, and, Concerning Hobbits is one of my favorite orchestrated soundtracks, even though I'm not a big fan of the Lord of the Rings movies. Not even that I'm not a big fan. I've never been that interested by them, I guess. And so I think that he is a really good composer. I don't necessarily think we've really used that much.
No, we have not.
So I went with old Howard Shore.
Okay. We'll flip once more, and here we go. Oh, damn it. I dropped it. Lost it in the light when I flipped her. Let's try again. And we got Howard Shore doing our score.
There it is. Alrighty. I was honestly torn between Howard Shore and Thomas Newman.
Yeah.
At first, because I listen to 1917 soundtrack a lot. Mm-hmm. All right.
I think we did use Thomas Newman.
I think we have. All right. Well, we got Jack, Lily, and Darkness, a.k.a. Link, Zelda, and Ganondorf. So, Lily, who you got?
Lily? I was going to go with an actress we haven't used before, Emily Browning, but I chose against her because I found someone a little better when I was looking for my director. More appropriate, I'll say. And just sticking with The Witcher, I'm going with Freya Allen. And she played in The Witcher.
Yeah, Siri. That's who I had picked as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Siri. That's a big role in The Witcher story that will only... I mean, I haven't finished The Witcher show. I did finish the first book, and I'm like... 3/4 of the way through the second book, which is what the first season is based on. So I'm very familiar with what goes down and what entails and everything. So, Ciri is a really important character. So I think she's only going to become a bigger part of that show, and I think she's really did a really good job as Ciri in what I saw in terms of the first handful of episodes of The Witcher.
Cool.
So, yes, that's what I had chosen as well. What about Darkness?
We got to go Jack. Unless you want to do Darkness first.
We can do Jack first.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm like, Darkness is the lead.
Because he's the best part.
Yeah. For Jack or Link, I'm going with an actor we also haven't gone with before, and that would be Asa Butterfield.
We have tried to use him before.
Have we?
Yes.
You think so?
He's somewhere in that book, I guarantee it. But it's probably crossed out.
I was trying to look for Peter Jackson. I can't read your handwriting worth shit.
Neither can I, don't worry.
But yeah, he first impressed me in Hugo when I saw him back in the day. So that was 9 years ago, so he's a lot older. He's about 23 now. But I think he's a great actor from things like that and Ender's Game. And what else did I see him in semi-recently? I can't. Nothing's looking similar. Or I guess it was probably Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, which is an odd movie. But he was in The Boy in the Striped Pajamas back in the day as well. He's known for being a younger kid actor. However, he's still been working as hasn't been on anything like high profile in a while.
Yeah.
But he's a young English actor, and I think he's got the chops to do an adventure film.
So my pick for Lily I just had her name on the tip of my tongue. Saoirse Ronan was my original pick for Lily. And that pick, because then I did ultimately go with Freya Allen, I wanted to go with someone that I had just recently watched. I went on a recent rabbit hole of the Graham Norton show, and I saw one that was Saoirse Ronan, but then my pick for Jack, so that's where that came from, because I had Jack in mind, and then Saoirse Ronan came from that. But it was Timothée Chalamet. They were interviewing together. But Timothée Chalamet was in the movie The King, which I don't know if you've seen. I watched most of it. Mm-hmm. But it's a very good film. And Timothée Chalamet is a really good actor. And we've used him before. I think you've used. I don't know if we've necessarily cast him in anything. But he was in Lady Bird with Saoirse Ronan. He's coming in the new movie coming out, Dune. He's going to be the main guy in Dune. He was in the movie Call Me By Your Name. But I was mostly going off of him and The King. That's a story that I really like. I like The Hundred Years' War and everything. So that's what drew me to that. I think Timothée Chalamet would be able to pull that character out pretty easily.
All right. I wanted him to be my Edward Scissorhands.
Ah, there it is.
And we went with Evan Peters.
That's the right choice, because I made it.
Well then, let's flip for it. I was going to pick Timothée Chalamet earlier when I was thinking about it, but I came to my head. I'm like, I've used him, tried at least a few times. So.
Yeah.
With old Asa Akira. So here we go.
Hey there.
And it is Asa Akira.
Whoa.
Asa Butterfield.
It's
going
to be a weird movie.
Well, yeah, what if Lily, when she turns into like the evil version of Princess Lily, she becomes Asa Akira wearing that outfit. Like, wait a minute. This movie got much darker. Much more interesting.
All right, we're on to our last pick, The Darkness. Who you have?
Ooh, this one was tough. I'm curious to see who you have.
So mine, actually, I think is actually a really good pick. I wanted to go someone, because you've even said, I mean, while Tim Curry is really the glue that holds this movie together with his performance, really anyone could have been under that makeup, and they could have dubbed his voice in if need be.
That's how they do it to them. They do it CGI.
Exactly. So I wanted to go with someone who has the ability, the range, to pull off a character as menacing as this. And ultimately, I went with Mark Hamill. I think Hamill would be able to pull this one out. Because for those of you who don't know, maybe you're like Luke Skywalker. He is the Joker. He has a variety of different voice talents throughout. But he's also like... You watch interviews with him. He's a phenomenal actor. Like, he's almost underrated, I feel, because he can't really escape the fact that he is this comic book kind of guy. You know, that's his character. He's Luke Skywalker, and that's what he's known for kind of deal. But I really think Mark Hamill's a really good actor. And a very underrated to a degree. I mean, you hear Mark Hamill. He's a household name. But not known for very much outside of Luke, at least to the most households.
He's Colonel Muska in my household.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I felt that Mark Hamill would be able to pull that role out easy.
See, I was going to go with one of two actors that would just easily came to mind, and we use them quite a bit for roles like this, and that was going to be either Willem Dafoe or Benedict Cumberbatch.
You're just thinking Smaug.
Yeah, but I like Mark Hamill.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. I don't necessarily think we've ever used him, per se.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And I'd want him in the makeup. Slap him in the makeup.
Yeah. He'd be ready, right?
Tim Curry.
He just does it in his usual voice.
Yeah, Tim Curry was, yes, a lot younger back then, but he's not a big guy. He's my height. He's about 5'9", and they put him in all that makeup. And
5.5 hours.
Yeah, he was a towering 7'3" in all of that shit, and... yeah, it is a bit of an ordeal getting in all that makeup, but it paid off in the long run, I think, just for the look of it.
Oh, yeah.
I know one story was he was feeling so claustrophobic in that makeup, he just started tearing it off before, like, the remover was on for the spirit gum. And he, like, literally, like, ripped a layer of skin off.
Nice.
So it became painful for him to get makeup put on. So they had to put the production – or not the production, but, like, his part on hold filming it. For about a week while he healed, and they had to, like, shoot around him, like, different, like, scenes and, like, use a double. And especially in the fight scene, you can tell at the end that it's clearly a molding of that face because there's just one facial expression the entire time.
Yeah. Well, indeed, indeed, indeed. So for our remake, 1985's Legend, we got director Lauren Schmidt-Hurt. Hisrich, composer Howard Shore, Jack, played by Austin Butterfield, Lily, played by Freya Allen, and The Darkness, played by Mark Hamill and Nat. So, usually this portion of the show, we ask a question before we go, but I got a hard out. I got to get going here. So I'm just going to go ahead and close it out, if that's okay with you.
Hey, that's fine with me because, you know, no good without evil, no love without hate, no innocence without lust, and no and without and.
Indeed. So that is the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out on Audio Boom. That's our primary site. That's where we post everything out and it subsequently gets shipped to everywhere else you find your podcast. So Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, we're there. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting new episodes of the show, as well as... we'll be posting memes that Gus makes, updates of what we're going to be watching, et cetera, et cetera. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Go to Facebook and type in The Brothers Movie Factory. We'll be there. Like us, share what we post. I like to make memes that go along with what we're watching each and every week, as well as links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, to Audio Boom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
All righty, indeed. And that is the show, everyone. Again, we hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers.